Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. Hold your kitties tight. Hold your kitties close, because it is another snowy night here in Wyoming. It is snowing again in Wyoming. It's often snowing in Wyoming. I really wish that y'all out there in Radioland could hear the between-break banter and like before and after the show, because we were just having this big old hootenanny, Bill and Davi and I. I'm Michael Dean, and we got Davi Barker, who, say hi, Davi.
How's it going?
Davi is best known, well, I put it this way, I knew Davi before he was an international superstar for getting felt up by the TSA because they were looking for his Bitcoin. I think he's got Bitcoin, let's pat him down. And with him, when that happened, was Bill Buepert, and Bill Buepert recently suffered a heart attack, and he's here, back from, not the dead, but back from a heart attack. Are you there, Bill?
I'm right here, and I suffered that heart attack last Saturday. Not this, you know, yesterday, but a Saturday ago.
Man, and you went out and did some MMA wrestling today? Boxing?
Well, of course. You know, Boston and I subscribe to a rather vigorous exercise regime.
Yeah. So, I wish y'all could have heard us just before this. I mean, it was really fun, but I end up looking like the bad guy, because I have to say, everyone stop talking. We're about to go on radio, because all these guys are used to doing these podcasts and these interviews and these stuff, and it's like it's not to an atomic clock. And all I'm trying to do with this show is teach all my Liberty friends to march to an atomic clock, and then they can go off and do their own radio shows live. And I'm going to get more people on and more people on. This is going to be like the Amway of Liberty. This is
the AM train running on time.
It really is, man. So, yeah, I mean, like Bill was like bearing his soul, and I'm like, okay, shut up. 5 seconds, everybody. Like, that's how it is. You know, it's like a Broadway musical here. I got the big sheep's crook backstage. So I'm done. Bill is going to talk until the next commercial about his health. We're all wondering, man, how are you?
It's so kind of you to ask, Michael, and Davi, it's great to hear from you again. So I had a myocardial infarction, better known as a heart attack, on a rather large scale last Saturday, so 6 days ago, 7 days ago. And I didn't know until 7 hours into the ER. I won't bore you with the details of how it came on, but my wife had a sense of urgency that brought me to the hospital. And instead of taking an ambulance, she drove me there, which was far more effective. We went in there, they did the testing and all of that. It appeared to be, from immediate results, either dehydration, angina, or maybe some kind of arrhythmia. But after 7 to 8 hours of testing that they did on my blood, they discovered that, yes, indeed, I had troponin enzymes in my heart, which indicated that I had suffered a myocardial infarction. It turns out later on, 2 days later, which is Monday, when they actually did the cath lab and they go in through the wonders of modern medicine, they go in through a small incision in my thigh, work up a dye device through the artery to the heart, and in my heart, they discovered on one of my arteries a 99% blockage. Now, I've always suffered chronic fatigue syndrome for most of my life, for which I cannot assign any cause. Well, apparently, this may have been the reason for that, at least in a partial sense, if not in a whole sense. I'm thinking now while I'm recovering that it's a partial sense. But
yeah, I mean, if you block a piston on a, you know, 4-stroke engine, it's not going to run nearly as well.
Exactly. So I'm the proud owner of a stent. And of course, they wanted to Big Pharma and the AMA wanted to assign me 5 drugs, of which 3 I refused. And the 2 that I did relent an assignment was the aspirin and what they call Plavix, which is sort of applies lubricity and viscosity to your blood so the stent doesn't start to catch stuff as it's attacked by the body as an alien enterprise and starts to stack it up. So all of a sudden, it becomes a blockage.
Again, with the motor analogy, you know, like that, you know, the gasoline that has a little bit of oil in it that keeps it lubricated and clean, self-cleaning.
Precisely. Now, stents do nothing as far as morbidity. Stents just treat the symptoms of a heart attack. In this case, one thing that they wanted me to do was lower my cholesterol, which is above 200, which in the 1950s and 60s was not considered in the aggregate large. It was normal. Part of that's genetic. And what you discover in this is that talking to several of the doctors and others who are fairly well apprised in the medical field and in the dietary field, 80% of your causes for, let's say, heart disease, brain disease, cancer, that kind of thing, that's your loss in the genetic lottery. No matter how robust, like Boston and I are in our exercise regime and taking care of ourselves and eating the right foods, we could lose, much like Jim Fix did, the running athlete in the 1980s, where he just dropped dead of a heart attack one day. You're going to have a number of fit athletes out there who are going to drop dead on occasion, or they will have a little more slowly and more painful death through cancer because they lost the genetic lottery.
Wow. Did you talk to my friend Kevin McKernan, who is a DNA scientist?
I did not, but I intend on doing that within the next 2 days.
Yeah, he runs a couple. He's one of us. He's a Liberty guy. He actually worked on the Human Genome Project. He's actually, I don't know if this is, that's interesting. I don't know if this means anything to any of us, but he was actually brought to the White House and congratulated by Carter or Bush for his work on it. Not Bush, Carter or one of those guys.
Sure.
One of those Southern guys that liked young ladies. I forget which one. But he runs a company that does testing to give it's pretty advanced cool medicine, and it's kind of small, independent real pharma the way he does it. They do genetic testing and develop person-specific treatments for certain illnesses.
You know, it's funny because the doctors that I spoke to a man, the two cardiologists that I had, when I told them I was refusing statins, they looked at me as if I had an organ growing out of my forehead and that I wasn't paying attention to the data and I wasn't, you know, doing the right thing as far as taking care of myself. But when I look at the literature, and my wife is really good at appraising the literature, statins really don't stack up to be the be-all and end-all that they make them out to be. And here's something that I found shocking. Believe it or not, statins were discovered, which is a cholesterol-lowering drug that Big Pharma and the AMA love, comes from red rice yeast. Well, guess what? Red rice yeast is illegal in the U.S., except in trace elements and various things that disguise themselves as red rice yeast, but don't have sufficient amounts of it to really count as such. Now, isn't it curious that statins come from a natural drug, red rice yeast in this case, which is made illegal so that the multi-billion dollar industry of statins can't be gotten off of the local grocery shelf?
I've never heard of a drug plant that's illegal that is not psychoactive.
Well, I think then I might have found the exception to the rule for that, Michael.
Oh, I believe you. I'm intrigued by that, and I wonder if there's more of them out there. Huh.
So other than that, though, I think I've had a rather rapid recovery. While I was in there, they had me on all kinds of drips to include heparin, which is a really nasty kind of poison. And I'm fortunate that they took me off of that probably on my second day there after my cath lab. But in the end, I gained 12 pounds over 3 days.
Wow.
Now, since that time, when I left on Tuesday, I've dropped all of that weight plus 2 pounds. So I'm back near my fighting weight. But it's miserable being in a hospital. You get no rest. You get no sleep. You're assaulted all the time. It's uncomfortable. You're surrounded by sick people.
What do you mean by assaulted? Poked and prodded?
Poked and prodded and blood drawn and trash cleaned up and your bed cleaned up and food brought to you or food not brought to you or lights going on, lights going off, whatever the case may be.
It's kind of like prison light.
It is. And if you look at the morbidity rates in hospitals in America today, I can't come up with the numbers offhand, but I think more than 100,000 people die at the hands of doctors every year as a result of their own incompetence.
Yeah. There's a hospital in my town that's had a number of lawsuits of, you know, people that go in with a broken arm and die of a staph infection that they get while they're in there, things like that.
It happened to a friend of mine where his grandmother died of sepsis, I think it was a month ago, as a result of her going in for a small operation on her toe.
Wow.
Yeah, and I don't think that these stories are uncommon. And if you pay attention to, I do tweet off of my site, thanks to my wife inspiring me to do so. I do a cockroach tweet or two or three every morning. I'll bet if some enterprising tweeter or twitterer out there were to take up the cudgel of medical malpractice and incompetence and tweet on the latest thing that happened in the last 24 hours, it would probably raise people's eyebrows just as badly as police brutality.
It would probably end up with 1 million followers. It would end up with more followers than a police brutality of the day tweet, because most people think that police brutality is very isolated and rare and only happens to people who probably deserve it anyway. But I think everybody knows that medical malpractice happens here and there, at least.
Oh, absolutely. And you and I both know. You know, I live in the state of Arizona. You're in Wyoming. Davi, you hail from California, where they defeated a medical marijuana bill, which really surprises me that happened. But if you look at the uses of hemp.
It's the cop union there, man.
And the corrections union. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hemp does so many things well when it comes to medical problems of people.
They build houses out of it, too, in Europe.
South Africa, too. It's going to be a renaissance in America once that's either decriminalized or legalized. It's going to be interesting to see how the freed market takes off with that.
Well, you can build plastics with it. I mean, like, you can really construct just about anything.
What was that?
That was the Roadrunner, man.
I don't know what that was.
That was Bitcoin going up. I'm going to turn that.
That was Bitcoin going up. You have an app that makes it sound like the Roadrunner every time Bitcoin goes up. What's it do when it goes down?
It's a slipping sound. It's like a whoop whoop whoop.
Well, Michael, if I may, you were very kind to have me on for this segment, but I wanted to sign off so I can gather my strength for the fight ahead.
Okay. And, normally I'd say, stay for the next one. But, you know, like when Ben Quaker had his heart problem, I didn't have him on for a while. I wouldn't have him on because I was like, man, I just want him to rest. And I know he gets excited when he's talking over the radio webs.
Well, how can you not when you're on Michael Dean's show?
It's good having you, and we're going to have you back for two nights in a row, week of April 20th, next week, Monday and Tuesday. And if you need anyone to fill in for those, Bill, let me know, even if it's last minute, but I hope you can do them both. We're looking forward
to it. Thanks, Michael. I'll be there.
All right. Worms. We'll be back after this trip to the market. I think Dobby's ad is coming up.
This radio show is called Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com to help keep it drone-proof.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is Michael Dean, After Dark, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker in an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And Davi Barker and I were just talking about child labor and how we plan to employ it. Can we even talk about that on the radio?
I don't know. Is it criminal? Should we not confess to criminal behavior?
Yeah. Oh, we were just talking about in theory, like, you know, we think it'd be okay for kids to have jobs like, you know, temporary jobs with their parents' permission, you know, ages young from like age 6 to 16, if they were like to walk around Porkfest with our buttons and sell them at commission. You know, we don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, we're just talking in a theoretical sense.
Well, I mean, especially a commission, then you're not really talking about minimum wage. You're not really talking about disparity in their ages. They're being treated like adults.
Yeah, I'm wondering if any authorities are ever going to try to come into Porkfest and do stuff, and what would happen if they did. What do you think? I've never been there.
I don't know. I think it would be interesting. I know that people play the Who's the Fed game and nobody wins.
Yeah, well, I've actually been kidnapped, and I am a clone of Michael Dean created by a government agency at this point, I think. I think.
Oh, see, I have a, there are the people who know me know the question to ask if they think I've been co-opted.
Ah, you have the rubber hose word. Okay. Yeah, there's a, well, there was a gun show in Wyoming a couple years ago, and gun shows in Wyoming are pretty bizarre. It's like, you know, it's every liberal's nightmare. I mean, literally, you know, you go down to the fairgrounds and people rent tables, and you could walk in and buy, you know, an AR-15 with no background check, no paperwork, not even showing ID, and put cash down. Some people will take silver or gold. And, you know, you can buy pretty much any legal weapon without any background check. And you can buy, you know, you can buy an AK-47 with 30-round mag, you know, semi-auto. You can't buy machine guns, although people do sell machine guns there, but you need a special permit to buy them. And they cost about 30 times what the semi-auto versions cost. And as Boston Tea Party said, I don't like them. He said, machine guns turn money into noise. Semi-autos turn brass into skill or something like that.
Yeah, but I can respect that.
Yeah, but the state or the feds, one of them decided to start trying to collect a sales tax on guns sold at gun shows. And came in and, like, we're walking around, tax collector guy, trying to collect. And some... A couple gun owners just, like, got up in their faces and started screaming at them. I wasn't there, but I heard about it. It was like, you know, 400 people went silent and watched what they were doing. And they weren't waving guns or anything. You know, not even supposed to have a loaded gun in there. But it was like they were just so adamant and vehement. They were screaming at this little tax collector guy until he just left. You know, I mean, it didn't end taxes in the same way that, you know, the standoff ending in Nevada didn't end that guy's trouble. They're going to take it to the courts, I think, where they're just going to ruin his life. But what do you think about
that? Yeah, they'll find a bureaucratic solution. They'll make it so that it's part of declaring their income for the event or something like that.
Yeah.
So that there's no human being you're face-to-face with. They'll steal it through paperwork.
Yeah, like, you know, the thing they're doing in Nevada, like, they're like, okay, these angry people are showing up with their guns because it's the middle of nowhere. Let's just take it to a county courthouse or a federal courthouse where, you know, you can't have any. No one can have guns but the feds.
Well, I mean, good on him for at least, like, making a public scene. I mean, like, at least that means that everybody knows they're among friends.
I'm really intrigued to see how they're going to try to do that with Bitcoin on a personal level. I mean, my prediction is they're going to do it now that they've said it's taxable property. They're going to definitely tax all of the exchanges. And then they'll probably occasionally bust an individual and make a really high-level thing of tax evasion or something. But I think
about they have to create a climate of fear. That's the only way to really enforce anything.
Yeah, but I think like 98% of personal cryptocurrency exchanges are just going to go undeclared and unmolested by the powers that think they be.
Well, it'll probably look a lot like file-sharing prosecutions.
They catch one out of, you know, a half million and just flog them publicly way beyond, you know.
Right, it'll be like
some little girl that's like the 12-year-old girl who downloaded like 4 songs and her mother got fined $14 million or whatever it was.
She was caught with 0.18 bitcoins and it's being taxed at 5,000%.
Yeah, because it might go up to that in a few years. So, you know, and I asked Cody Wilson, the printable gun guy, a while back, you know, what do you think is going to be the future with the state in all countries? And he said, he kind of thought, and he said, you know, I think it's just going to get more and more irrelevant, but occasionally they're just going to do something really brutal and horrible to one person. And they kind of started to do that with you with Bitcoin at an airport. Let's talk about that when we get back.
Yeah, no problem.
You haven't told that on this show. Worms.
You were destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yeah. Hold your kitties tight. It's a cold night in Wyoming. Love them. Love your loved ones. Hold them tight. This is Michael Dean. It's After Dark. And I'm talking to Davi Barker, the Muslim agorist. What does that mean, Davi? Tell me what that means.
It's just a thing that's true about me. I'm Muslim, which means I'm a practitioner of the Islamic faith, and I'm also an agorist.
That was me gasping because I'm a talk radio host. A Muslim? Okay. It's a Muslim. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Right. Hide your children. Hide your whatever. So an agorist.
I think people should be more concerned about the agorist part.
Yeah, probably. I think it's been more effective in the avenue of social change in America. And what agorism is, it's a species of market activism where people engage in sort of legitimate commerce outside of the taxable, regulatable economy in an effort to replace coercive systems with voluntary systems, hopefully entirely.
Yeah, and that's important to note that it's a strategy, not a political belief. And people get confused on that because most agorists are voluntarists or libertarians or anarcho-capitalists. But theoretically, there could be a dirty commie who's an agorist too, couldn't there be?
There are. No, there absolutely are.
Dirty commies.
It's considered a sort of open source. Even you know, Konkin, who wrote the agorist primer, he was a mutualist, I believe, which is like a left libertarian, which is sort of communist leaning, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, you know. But you know, you take your strategies from what works.
Yeah, I laugh at the idea of left libertarian, which is not to say I'm a right libertarian, only a right in the sense of correct libertarian, I would say. But, you know, we're not right wing, but we do like capitalism. And that often gets confused with corporatism, which is what the Occupy Wall Street people don't like, because they shouldn't be occupying Wall Street. They should be occupying the Federal Reserve and Congress until they go away. You know, because
that's what we did in San Francisco. We occupied the Federal Reserve building in San Francisco.
But you also occupied Occupy Wall Street and handed them truthful paper propaganda rather than the mutated type they're into, didn't you?
I did. Well, what it was we had an Occupy encampment at the Federal Reserve Building in San Francisco, and we had an Occupy encampment at City Hall in Oakland. And these two groups were close enough together that there was a lot of cross-pollination between them. And so I go anywhere there's a crowd. And so I went and camped out on the street for a couple weeks with those guys and blogged about it and everything. And really where the fruitful conversation came from was holding the ground in the middle of the night when it was like me and a bunch of teenage Marxists talking about property and what property is and where property rights come from and why the disbelief in property means that you're not allowed to eat. And, you know, and it was really enlightening, hopefully more for them, but also for me.
Did you sway any of them, do you think, from Marxism?
I don't think I got them to stop calling themselves Marxists, but in any conversation where you brought the philosophy down to the level of me and the person in front of me talking about how we're going to respect each other, they all admitted that I owned things.
Yeah, and that's one of my problems with the concept of left libertarianism or of anarcho-communism, ANCOM, because neither of those groups can tell me how they're going to redistribute my wealth without pointing a gun to my head.
Right.
Yeah, without acting like the government
and
they're trying to get rid of.
And that's what it came down to. It's like, I have these things in my pocket, and I think I own them. Do you think you have the right to take them from me?
Yeah.
Like without my permission? And they're like, no. And there was totally a custom of asking people permission and getting upset. You want to see somebody upset? See a communist whose backpack goes missing in a park.
who's a communist whose backpack gets redistributed? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's funny, man.
So it was it was educational for everybody involved, and it didn't really accomplish anything in the long run.
Somebody took my backpack. That's not cool.
I don't know. I haven't lived in California so long. I can't do the accent. You probably could.
I don't know if I want to do the accent.
Go ahead, man. Do it. Do it.
It's
whiny. It's whiny.
It's kind of
and
whiny,
entitled.
And it's kind of like you really need to like check your privilege and understand that you don't really legit. And those things were not acquired legitimately. Those things were acquired through years of slave labor and Native American land seizure and yeah. So I don't know if I'm doing it well, but
yeah, it's pretty close. It's better than me.
It is a little infuriating. I'm to a point now where I can't really tolerate it very long.
Why do you live in California still? I moved out 4 years ago to Wyoming to conquered Indian land. That's a bad joke. I moved to Wyoming with my wife 4 years ago, and we love it. Although your wife works somewhere that's like a brick and mortar kind of place in California, right?
Yeah, she has an office. She's a civil rights attorney, and she does sort of she sues the FBI and cool stuff like that.
That's pretty cool, man. is your house bugged?
Probably.
Is there a red laser dot on your forehead right now?
Not at the moment, but the window's closed, so maybe. You know, that seems a little overt. I think that they would probably, you know, like disappear me in a quieter place.
I have a theory of what they'd do if they were smart, but I don't really want to say it on the radio because they might. I know they're listening, and they might go, "That's a really good idea. Let's do that." I think if they really wanted, okay, there have been two heart attacks of people who are hosts on LRN. You know, there's a lot of like activists and stuff whose cars fail and they burst into flames all the time. And, you know, they cover them on Drudge Report, and Drudge himself mysteriously died. And, oh, the 23-year-old guy who programmed.
You're thinking Bill Buport mysteriously died.
No, he didn't mysteriously die.
I'm not Bill Buport. Oh, what is his name?
You were just talking to Bill Buport, man. What are you smoking?
No. It's not Drudge, though. It's the other one. It's whatever. Go on.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think Drudge died, didn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah. Judge dried. He died. He just keeled over at a bar after having one drink. But, you know, those people aren't really in our crew. And if a third person who's a host on LRN has a heart attack, I might look at it as a pattern. But for now, I just look at it as a lot of Liberty hosts are over 50 years old, you know? And Ben Stone is a little over, by his own admission, he's like, yeah, I'm a little overweight. I'm a candidate for a heart attack. I don't get a lot of exercise. But Bill's a health nut. But Bill broke that down. You know, it's a genetic thing too.
It's Breitbart.
Breitbart, thank you. Yeah, the other
Breitbart
right.
died.
Yeah, yeah, the other judge type guy. But yeah, I mean, my dad's 93, and my mom died of cancer at 75, which is older than a lot of people live. So I might have the genes to make it, but I don't exercise much. I've got a sober beer belly, but we'll see what happens. But here's what I think they would do if they really wanted to mess with us. I think they'd give us all a one-time poison somehow, you know, probably in the hemp brownies at not hemp. There's no hemp brownies, but you know, probably in the chili at Porkfest or something that would just make, it would make all us radio hosts lose about 50 or 70 IQ points over a period of 6 to 12 months. And at the same, and not cause any pain and not cause us to be depressed, but make us happier and more confident. Because if you got depressed or you're in pain, you might be like, I don't feel like doing the show. Let someone else do it. But, you know,
they'll transform all Liberty Media into Wheels Off Liberty.
For those who don't know, Wheels Off Liberty was a couple rednecks acting like even stupider rednecks. Yeah, while talking about Liberty. Yeah, it would turn it all into like, I like Liberty good. And you'd be really confident about it, really jazzed to go on radio every night. Yeah, that's what they do. I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to encourage them to. Maybe I've put enough quality media out there that's all on BitTorrent and can't be taken down by doing anything to me, to the point where I would like a 50-year vacation at 50% of the IQ. It'd be kind of fun.
You know, at this point, we've decentralized food at Porkfest. They would have trouble finding a dish that everyone ate. Yeah. We're too diverse a community at this point.
Well, what I'm trying to do is diversify media. I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm doing this show. There's 10 different co-hosts on this. And, you know, some of them, like you, do podcasts and do a lot of spoken media and interviews and stuff. And Bill doesn't do a lot of spoken interviews. He's new to this. And then some of them are like Stephanie Murphy, who, you know, are on a radio shows with 140
stations.
She's got
three or four of her own shows. Yeah, that she's
yeah.
Every day.
Yeah. But, you know, and then some of them were like Diana, who'd never, ever, ever even done a podcast. And I just said, hey, you're smart. And you're up late at night. You're emailing me. I'm starting a show. Get this mic for $50 and you can be a host. And she's like, okay. And she's great. She's like, I mean, she goes to conferences and like stands cool, up man. And cheers loudly. You know, she's like really energetic. And I'm basically training the next batch of Liberty hosts. So, you know, if they put an RPG through my window 6 months from now, it's too late, man. I'm like an amoeba. I've already split in 20 different directions with my training, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's sustainability in nature, right? You diversify the gene pool and it becomes impossible to kill a species.
Yeah, yeah. It's like adoption, you know? I mean, there was a time when they could have taken Bitcoin out, but it's beyond that now.
You were talking about a species split. I actually have a name for the authoritarian species of human, too. Well, yours, remind me what yours was.
Homo parasitis is the one that wants to dominate and steal and
right.
and be dominated. You know, it's the people who want to be led and think they need a leader. It's that whole group. And then right. we're Homo libertitis, the ones that just want to be left alone.
Right. So I don't have one for libertarian, the libertarian human, but the authoritarian human, I call them Homo sapiens sanguinis.
Blood.
Sanguia means bloodshed or violence. It means to live by violence.
Yeah.
And so that's what I use for them.
Yep, that works.
And it's fun to say sanguinis.
Sanguinis. Get off my sanguinis. Yep. Yeah, so talk about how you did not drop trow and pee all over people in an airport. And therefore, there's no footage of it. Because I was saying, you said there's no proof. They're denying it's happening. And I'm burying the
lead. They're not denying. They're unable to confirm that it happened.
Right, right. And they've had to issue a statement because you got written up in Forbes. And again, I'm burying the lead. And we're about to go to break in 2 minutes. But you got hung up by the TSA because they thought you had Bitcoin. They thought it was a physical thing. They're really stupid. They're hiring people off of pizza boxes who couldn't find their own fly, let alone a terrorist. And like, you're an anarchist and you're a Muslim, and they didn't even like know that. I mean, that would have set off some alarms probably, but they were like, oh, this.
No, Bitcoin is the scary thing.
This hipster right? dude and has because, Bitcoin.
You know, like fringe political perspectives and fringe religions, at least in this country, are small populations. This is a country that's run by majorities.
Yeah.
And Bitcoin is about to like tip mainstream. And I think that they are freaked out about it.
Yeah.
And so they're looking for ways to sort of scare people, and they're looking to create a climate of fear. And so what they did was they pulled me out of the TSA line. They said, we got to search your bag again because we think we saw something in your bag. And then they said, we got to know about the Bitcoin. We think we saw Bitcoin in your bag. Just tell us about the Bitcoin. And I knew immediately they were lying because there's nothing to see in Bitcoin.
It's like,
I
asked we know
what
you
it
have.
Like, said it was a token.
Yeah, it's not a token. It's a number. Bitcoin ain't nothing but a number. And we'll be back with more on Michael Dean After Dark with Davi Barker.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and yes, we're broadcasting this message into space.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Good evening, cool cats and crazy chicks. This is Michael Dean, and I had a really good break there. I was getting a drive-by petting from my wife. That's what I call a like 2 minute really hard back rub during a break on the radio. And I suffer for my art, and I suffer for all your pleasure. I'm not a messiah, But if you want to reward me, you can go to Michael Dean After Dark website. You can Google that. Go to michaelwdean.com and send me coins and bitcoins and name coins. And you can buy things like buttons. And you got some things you sell there, Davi Barker. What's your website?
Yeah, shinybadges.com. You can go there. I sell all kinds of lapel pins. There's some flags and stuff, and I sell the cop block badge. I do a lot of merchandising.
Yep, and it's good stuff, man. Did your ad play during that break? Your ad is in this show, Shiny Badges.
I didn't hear it.
Okay, yep. Yep, it plays on the Freedom Fiends, and it also plays on here, because, yeah, it's all the same, kind of all the same ads, man, kind of all the same shows, really. It's just an extension of the Fiends without Nima. So, tell me more about the TSA touching you in your special place and looking for Bitcoin. Did they touch you in your special place?
They did meet resistance, yeah. And do you travel enough to know that line?
I haven't been on a plane. You said you love going to where the crowds are. I avoid the crowds like the plague, and I haven't flown in 7 years. I'm going to Porkfest. I'm going to meet you finally. It's going to be cool. But no,
yeah,
man,
that'll be cool.
I've been flown.
So no,
in seven
when
years.
You when you opt out and they come and they pat you down and they search all your stuff and whatever. The way that they phrase this is they say, "I'm going to move up your leg until I meet resistance."
I think you need to make a t-shirt based on a Beavis and Butthead type joke of that, like meet the resistance.
Well, that's what I said to him. I said, if that's what it's about, I'm ready to resist right now.
No. Like, you know, like the resistance as a resistance movement, meet the resistance.
Oh,
then,
I see.
And then a picture of, I don't know, like an athletic supporter on that area and a gloved hand. I don't know, something. You're the guy,
there's
man. You're the meme guy.
There's a meme in there somewhere. Yeah, absolutely.
Meet the new resistance, same as the old resistance. I don't know.
So that was all that really happened with the pat-down guy. And we had a kind of conversation where he said he wanted to be a pilot. He didn't want to be a TSA guy, but there were no openings as a pilot or something like that.
Well, isn't that what all governments do, is put two people in a situation neither of them want to be in? That's kind of government
by definition. This was the quintessential. Yeah. He
does
not
want
to be meeting my resistance.
Your groin. Yeah, he doesn't want to touch your special place, man, and you don't want him to touch it. But there you are with him touching it and you both not liking it.
Right. So after I get through the pat-down, I go to where my stuff is being swabbed for explosive devices. And the woman there says that there's some strange metal in my bag, and she has to open it up and search it and run some of it again. And what she's talking about is all of the lapel pins that I sell. I was coming home from Liberty Forum, and I had a backpack full of lapel pins. And so she pulled them all out, and these are all in clear tubes, mind you. So everything is completely transparent. She can see what everything is. But she decided she's going to put it through the X-ray machine again to make sure that my lapel pins are not a firearm. And so she does that, and she waves me through. She says, "All no problem, no firearm hidden in the lapel pins." But then on my way out of the checkpoint, I'm confronted by two new guys in sort of their poorly fitting suits, and they say, "We need to know where you're going." And I don't answer these questions. I told him I was going to Earth, and then he said I needed to be more specific, and I told him I was going to the northern half. So
you
like
punk!
This.
You're such a punk.
Hey, you're not obligated to answer.
Oh, I know. I'm complimenting
right?
you, man. I'm complimenting you by calling you a punk.
Yeah, I still have a punk asterisk in the punk annals of whatever those records are.
From what?
From you. You gave me an asterisk because I'm a noise guy.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that interview. Yeah, back when you were shy about the microphone, I remember that a couple of years ago.
So anyway, he gets to telling me that he needs to ask me about the Bitcoin. Tell him about the Bitcoin.
Tell me about the Bitcoins.
All right, we're gonna tell me about the Bitcoins when we come back from the market, because it's time to go to the market for hour one. We'll be back for hour two. We'll also be taking your calls on phone and Skype when we get back from the market. Say worms, Dobby.
Worms.
After dark.
Go to MichaelWDean.com. That's MichaelWDean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I know some things I don't know.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
L'estato sperimentato.
The United States government presents
no vision. Congrats.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Esto por su parte considera
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to MichaelWDean.com for more.
That's MichaelWDean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
All right, it's Michael Dean After Dark. If the hamster in your brain is keeping you awake, you can call in. Our call-in number is 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. Or,
and hey, is the bumper music your band?
Yeah, this is all. Well, that's me music play. That's me playing everything. Some of it's my old band, Bomb. And some of it is music I wrote specifically for this show, but it's all me. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Thank you. And yeah, 855-660-4261. Or the preferred method of contact is to get a good microphone. And we have a link on our site of where to get the best microphone in the world. So you can call us or Free Talk Live, or the two shows I know of that take Skype, or Freedom Fiends doesn't take calls anymore. And the reason we don't take calls is because I don't talk to Nima anymore now that he's a new daddy and working 70 hours a week and raising his daughter with his wife. And so he's like my best friend, man. So I like to talk to him. So the only time I get to talk to him is the 4 hours every weekend we're on the radio. So we don't take calls anymore, man, because I want them all to myself. So if you want to call in by Skype, it's kittyfeet1, like the feet of a cat, K-I-T-T-Y, foxtrot, echo, echo, tango, feet. Foxtrot, echo, echo, tango. Yeah. Kitty, feet, and then the numeral one. So I want to go back to Dobby Barker talking about his TSA experience, but I want to interject. I want to repeat the conversation that we had. It recreated. It was pretty funny.
Okay.
During the break. So Dobby, are you a redneck or a hipster?
I am on that particular dichotomy. I'm a hipster. I'm unaware of this particular spectrum of people, but if I had to choose between hipster and redneck, I'd go hipster.
Well, you're a beard. You have a beard, which I guess could also mean Muslim or Marxist, and then and you're one of those Muslims. And then I asked you if you were are there Muslim Marxists?
There must be Muslim Marxists out there, I'm sure.
I thought so. I thought the Muslim Brotherhood were Marxists, aren't they?
I have never heard that particular accusation levied against them before, but it's a possibility.
You don't know. You're not the central planner of all Muslims.
No. You know, we meet once a week. We have a Skype phone call with all of us, all 7 billion of us.
There are not seven billion Muslims. There's a few billion.
Okay.
You're lying. I've heard they're all liars, and there we have proof that because you're vastly overstating it. There's only a few billion Muslims.
The problem is that Skype accounts are cheap, and so some people open multiple accounts to inflate the numbers.
So what is this 27 language, 4 billion member Skype call sound like? Do you have a recording of it somewhere?
It kind of sounds like an old dial up modem.
I always thought dial up modem sounded like geese mating. Yeah. Okay.
So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So this was a meme on Facebook, and I know you're unplugged from Facebook, so you didn't come across it. But it's like 30 musicians on one meme, and it says, if you could if you could see a live performance from one of these dead musicians, which would it be? And I'm torn. I'm going to let you answer the question for yourself, but first I want you to help me answer. I'm torn between Kurt Cobain and Jim Morrison.
I'd take Kurt Cobain.
You'd take Kurt Cobain.
Jim Morrison was a drunk, man. That guy was...
Yeah, okay, fine.
That guy thought he was better than he was, and Kurt Cobain thought he was worse than he was. I'd rather hear the guy that's a little more humble.
So here's the thing, though. If it were about which music would I prefer to listen to, it's Kurt Cobain. If it were about who would I prefer to have a conversation with, it's Kurt Cobain. But when it comes to a live performance, Jim Morrison is a performer, and Kurt Cobain is not.
I don't know, man. Why are you rubbing yourself over ghosts, man? Those people are dead. Just go listen to their music.
I don't know.
I had a 2-hour conversation on the Freedom Fiends with Chris Novoselic, the bass player in Nirvana recently. Did you hear that one?
Yeah, I did.
The first hour of it was great.
Left for me.
Well, the first hour we just talked about rock and roll, and it was great.
Yeah.
And then including the fact that he told me, and I have on record, him saying that he really liked my band Bomb. And then he said that Kurt Cobain turned him on to my band Bomb and said, "You got to check this out, Chris. It's great."
What's cool about that is what I was going to say about the bumper music is it has all of the things that I like about Nirvana bass riffs in it.
Yeah. And we both, neither band influenced each other. We both, and I barely heard them until my band broke up. I didn't listen to them. So they were listening to me and I wasn't listening to them, which isn't saying haha, but it's saying like I was too self-involved to bother checking out other bands when I was in a band. We both started and ended the same year. So, and they were in Seattle and we were in San Francisco. So I barely heard them until they broke up, and then I really started listening to them and was blown away by them. But yeah, man, hearing him say that Kurt Cobain turned him on to my band and said, "You got to hear this, Chris. It's great." That was like a Catholic getting a blessing from the Pope, like by name.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Me. Yeah, it was pretty cool. You know, it was the rock and roll Pope blessing me from beyond the grave. I dug that. So I don't need to have a conversation with Kurt Cobain. I heard from his bass player that he liked my band. That's better than any imaginary conversation I could have with the guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's a meme I liked that was going around for a while back when I was on Facebook. It was a life, I think it was that cartoon Life in Hell, and it was a one panel cartoon. It was titled Billy's First and Last Day as a Recording Engineer, and it shows the band through the glass rocking out in the studio, and Billy's in the studio with the mixer, and there's all these knobs and things on it, and there's two buttons, and one says rock and one says suck, and he's about to press the one that says suck because that's how it works. I think we've lost Davi. Are you there, Davi?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
Yeah, Skype does so much like sound cancellation. It just sounded like I heard a little, like I think you dropped a book or something. It sounded like you passed out on the floor. I was thinking
that. Yeah, that happens all the time.
Because it's so cool doing this radio stuff that you can't handle it and you just pass out.
It's the excitement.
Like
it's
goat.
It's the third heart attack.
Come on, man. I don't know. I think we can joke about that. I mean, those guys are both really good friends of ours.
And, I'm not going to joke about their heart attack, but I'm going to joke about my own.
Your third heart attack.
Joke.
Yeah. I like it. So you're standing there getting felt up by the TSA. Then what happens?
Oh, right. So they asked me, they said, "We need to know about the Bitcoin. We saw Bitcoin in your bag." And I immediately know that they're lying because Bitcoin is digital. It has no physical representation, right? And so I say, "What did it look like? Like, what do you think you saw?" Actually, I said, "I want to talk to a superior officer because I don't think you know what you're talking."
Because you're not a very good one. I want to talk to a better one. Yeah.
And he said that it looked like tokens and that he understands that they're very valuable.
Now here's the reason they did that, I'm sure. And you wrote about this, but for people who don't know, Bitcoin is, it's a digital cryptocurrency. It's basically like emailing someone money. That's how I tell my 93-year-old dad what it is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's close enough for someone that literally grew up in the Great Depression and, learned to drive a car by driving a tractor. So, yeah, it's like emailing money. So, but you know that at some point they had these guys who were hired off a pizza box, literally, they do hire them off pizza boxes now. Like, want a good job? Sitting around eating pizza instead of working? Want to be able to work? No one else will hire you? We'll hire you, and you'll get full benefits and more pay than people who actually provide something for society. So you know that those guys had some training at some point, some PowerPoint presentation. And the guy's up there talking about the threat of this digital currency and how we have to, you can fund terrorism and drugs and all the things that money can also fund. But you know, I mean, like, you know, U.S., what do you think the average drug dealer wants to get? U.S. $100 bills or Bitcoin? No, he wants U.S. $100 bills. And they're untraceable, too. You know, so he if he's a big drug dealer, he probably wants gold bars. But so anyway, they probably had this PowerPoint presentation and like needed an image and went on Google Images and searched the word Bitcoin. And what came up was the same thing that's used in every mainstream media article by people who are really, really stupid.
And it's a pile of brass tokens.
It's a pile of brass tokens with a B Bitcoin symbol on them, which can buy. You can buy them. I mean, it's like art.
Well, you can't anymore. That guy went out of business.
Yeah, but you could buy like art. You could buy shiny badges Bitcoin, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
and that's what they saw. With the logo on them, right?
They saw a T-shirt I was wearing. That's what. That's why they targeted me. Was I had a T-shirt with a Bitcoin on it or B on it?
Yeah, and it's dropping. It's an old, you know, World War II bomber dropping a bunch of those tokens, which is not, you know, it's not bombing people. The thing is called Bitcoin, not bombs. That's your organization, but it's. I think of it more like an airdropper, a food drop. You know, like a. Like the Red Cross dropping bread or something.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It is. We are carpet bombing the world with Bitcoin. That's what we're doing. That's what our organization is about. It's a B-17 bomber in the logo. Thanks to Ben Stone for identifying that one for us. And it is much more like a food drop. We get a lot of our inspiration from food, not bombs. And we're about incorporating sort of military insignias and the B-17 for good,
also known as the Flying Fortress, which is made by Boeing. Yeah, Douglas and Martin. Yeah, yep, yeah. To go on.
So
then what happened?
It turns out that there was no Bitcoin in my bag. They lost interest in me as soon as they found out that I was on a domestic flight. And so what was going on was they're enforcing this regulation that says you have to declare more than $10,000 being carried on over an international border. And so once it was clear that I was not doing that, they just sort of turned around and left. But they kept hovering around me, and they sent some like armed goons to hang out at the terminal with me. And
they give you some new friends. Here, have some armed goons. And you're like, no, I just came for, like, you know, I'd rather go to Porkfest and hang out with my armed friends than you armed goons. Right.
I have plenty of armed friends already. I'm not in need of new armed friends.
Yeah, you and Ian Freeman are like guys that don't have to carry guns because all your friends do.
We're free riders. We are gun rights free riders.
Which is funny because there's this thing called the free rider problem, which is people say that without the government, if you had roads and people who wanted there to be roads chipped in and donated money for them, there'd be what they call the free rider problem, which is that not everybody would chip in, but people still get to use the roads. And, you know, here, that's our libertarian answer to it is bring it on, man. We like the free riders.
This is the insanity of the state argument, is that to solve the free rider problem, we have to give things to people for free.
Yeah. I think that might be the name of this episode is Davy Barker is a free rider on the gun rights movement.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I totally am. Yeah. I would be at Porkfest. You are in a very secure environment. Nobody's going to steal anything from Porkfest. And I take advantage from that as a merchant.
Yeah. Yeah. Although you are a guy who likes knives a lot and went out and bought a bunch of cheap, good knives and gave them to women in an area where women were getting raped.
Yeah, that was that is the solution to rape, I think, is because that's a much more intimate weapon.
Is knives. Yep. We'll be back with more on Davy Barker freely ripping off the gun users by hanging out with them and being protected. And I'm one of them. He can hang out with me. I'll be carrying a pink gun at Porkfest.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Meowbit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. Meowbit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address and our free software, Meowbit. Go to meowbit.com. That's meowbit.com.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
Now that's my band Bomb, Dobby. You're asking about Bomb? That's Bomb. It swings, man. I like music that swings. The lyrics of that song were, I love you so much that I wish you were dead or locked up down in some jail. Because if you were dead, you'd be underground and not squeaking under my friends. Man, that's a dark a dark love song.
Yeah.
I was a dark dude, man. That's why Kurt Cobain liked it. Yeah. Michael Dean's band, music that people who eventually blow their brains out love and tell all their...
To it.
Oh, come on, man. That's not funny. Too soon. How's that?
Too soon, man. Too soon. What is it? It's been 20 years.
It's been 20 years. That's too soon. Talk to me when I'm 70 and tell me that joke and I might laugh at it. Okay, so this is the kind of show this is, and it's good. I love having Davi on. This is his first time on because, you know, there's 10 co-hosts, and it's a popular show to be on. It's more popular with the hosts than it probably is with the world. But
you're going to have to start charging.
People sign up so far in advance. Yeah, and here's the funny thing. I wrote this, like, 20-page PDF for my co-hosts only, and I actually adopted it recently into an article on Talkers Magazine called How to Help Your Guests and How to Help Your Guests Shine. But one of the things in it is, in my version of it for my co-hosts only, is there's two rules. One is called the Carell rule, and one is called don't badmouth the advertisers no matter what. And the Carell rule is named after a show host named Carell who does a show on GCN. And I can say this is public knowledge. Everyone knows this. It's been written up probably in, you know, if not Talkers, somewhere else.
He still talks about it on his show, so it's all
does
right.
Does he? Okay.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he's a gay gentleman from San Francisco, which I'm cool with. You know, and it's funny, like, you got to say, if you mention...
Not that there's anything wrong.
I may have experimented in college, but... but he's a leftist, which really bugs me, and he's a gun grabber, which I really hate, because he literally wants me dead. He literally said the government should line up gun owners and, you know, at gunpoint take their guns, which I don't really understand.
To his credit, he is one of the only leftist talk show hosts who is entertaining enough that I can stomach his politics.
Yeah, but if I know that someone wants me dead, I can't really enjoy them. So
yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, and there's right-wing talk show hosts that I cannot enjoy because they want all Muslims dead. There's another talk show host who said something like this is the opposite end of the homosexual spectrum. Is there's a talk show host that has said, I hate Muslims and they're a pariah on the face of Christian God's earth, but I like them better than American Christians because at least Muslims kill homosexuals. So at least they have that going for them.
I've never done such a thing.
You never kill any homosexuals. Yeah. So the Carell rule, though, is basically once we're connected to the, this is my name for this thing. I've never said this publicly. Carell rule is my name for my rule on my shows that once we're connected to the network, you can't cuss no matter what, because Carell said something the day Ronald Reagan died of, I want to F and F that guy in the F and F and F and F when during a commercial, but the board op at his local station had hit the wrong button and it went out on air and he got kicked off a radio for years and had to crawl back and, you know,
wow,
climb back to getting three or four stations finally. So the Carell rule is on Michael Dean's shows, you can't cuss. And there's another rule that's the addendum or the amendment to the extra part of the Carell rule is you can't say anything bad about the advertisers, especially on air, but even during a break, because, you know, something might go out. And I don't say anything bad about the advertisers. It's just like somebody might hear an ad and go like, man, that song's really annoying. And I just broke that rule during the break. I cussed and
you broke both rules.
I cussed and I insulted an ad to the advertiser. I was like, your Shiny Badges song came on, and it's a great, you have a great site, a great service, great products, and it's a really well-written song. It's incredibly catchy, but it's so, and I know it's a Pete Seeger song, but her performance of it is so well done and catchy. It's such a good jingle that my wife and I find us humming that 4 or 5 hours after we hear it, to the point where I've been hearing that ad for about a year, about 3 times a day, because I play it on my show. I play it on my other show. I do 6 shows a week where it plays. And then I also listen to Free Talk Live about 3 or 4 days a week. And it plays once or twice on there in their 3 hours. And no, it plays twice because it plays on their radio feed, I think, but it also plays on the LRN feed where I listen to it. So I hear that song partially 15 or 16 times a week. And it's, and if my wife's in the room when it's on, we have like his and hers.
It's a brain worm. Isn't that what they call that?
It's a brain worm. Yeah, she goes, "Bah!" and reaches over and turns the speaker down for 60 seconds, even though it's a 30-second ad. So well done with your brain worm, sir. Kudos to you. And what's the lady's name who made it?
Her name is Hannah Hoffman.
Yeah.
And she is a very talented artist.
Yep.
And she's legendary. Brainworms.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Yeah, this is my band,
yeah,
Bob,
man.
Too.
The bass in this is so good.
Thanks, man. This is a 8-string bass, actually, that belonged to Bill Laswell. We recorded this on Warner Brothers in Bill Laswell's studio in Brooklyn. Like, before Brooklyn was hip, I was recording in Brooklyn. This was recorded in 1990 in Brooklyn, in Greenpoint, in the Polish neighborhood, which is the coolest neighborhood in Brooklyn. You ever been to Greenpoint?
No.
So you said
I've never been to Brooklyn.
You said you're sweating. Why are you sweating?
I'm sweating. I'm having flashbacks to the 90s. When I used to get in AOL chat rooms and, like, get on there and just chat and mess with people and talk about Star Trek or whatever, I used to, like, pour sweat from chat rooms, and I'm getting that now. And so it must just be like being on air, being on radio. It must just be like, I'm pumped, I'm ready, I'm excited.
Well, you know, if you do it right, radio makes you sweat. I mean, in my room, of course, I have like stage lighting, like, you know, because I'm on stage in my mind. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty dim in here. But no, I think if you know, libertarians sweat when they do radio because they work that hard at it. Now, you also said that libertarians use training. They learn to ride their bicycles with training wheels on the highway. We're basically
this is my name for this show is Training Wheels on the Freeway.
Yeah.
Because you know, we're guest hosts. I've never been on AM radio other than as a caller,
Have you ever done a show to a show clock like this?
Peace News Now is on the show clock.
Yeah, they're on the LRN show clock. And this is my goal, is to get like 10 people trained and then have them start doing podcasts and then get them on LRN doing their own shows. Because LRN is mostly not live radio. It's mostly podcasts. I would like it to be 24/7 radio. And if
live.
Here's the thing, though, is Ian Freeman runs a really tight ship there and runs that better than a lot of radio stations are run, like technically and, you know, like the quality of it and the fact that it runs to a show clock. But he makes people do a show for 6 months on their own before he'll put them on there. But I'm wondering if we could fast track that with people like you who know him personally and he knows you're a rock star of liberty. If he could see that I've trained you so well to do a show that you could get on there and not be horrible the first time and not pod fade. That's what he's mainly concerned about.
That is the thing that I would want to prove to myself. I don't know that it would take six months to prove that, but as far as the skill set is concerned, I feel like I could run a show no problem. But when it comes to being committed, to a time every week, all the time, for months on end. Like, that would be, that's the only thing I haven't proven to myself yet.
Well, here's the thing that's interesting that happened the other day was last week there was a day when I lost internet for 5 hours. And I had power, but I didn't have internet. Like, my whole town lost internet. It was probably the government trying to keep me from getting on the radio, but they couldn't do it because I called my co-host for the night, Lou, and I called Nikki Darling, who's another co-host who, you know, she's up late at night. I knew I wouldn't be waking her up. And, you know, she's usually on Facebook arguing with statists at midnight, her, you know, 1 a.m. her time. So I'm like, I called them both up and then called GCN and had them Skype in without me and do my show. It was pretty cool. They didn't do it as me, but they did it as, you know, you're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and all the liners and promos say Michael Dean After Dark. And Lou,
cool.
Lou kind of knows my, you know, I've kind of trained him. He's his own personality, but he kind of does it the way I would do it, kind of free form but tight. And it was a really good show, man. And it was, I mean, Lou had been a co-host, like, he'd been on The Fiends for like a segment or maybe a half hour before several times.
That's like when Ian goes to jail.
Right, right.
Like, Free Talk Live just doesn't skip a beat. It keeps going.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Ian going to jail is going to be the best thing that one time for a month or 2 months or
the
whatever.
Couch.
Is going to be the, for having a couch on his lawn and refusing to move it, is going to be, that's going to be written in history as the thing that made libertarian radio a real thing, to where it was unstoppable because
it was a national headline.
It was a national headline, but far more importantly than that, Free Talk Live stopped being just Ian and Mark and Stephanie. Like, Mark had to get other co-hosts, and now
That was what put Derek J on the map.
That's what put Derek J on the map, and it's also what put and then I got them a movie deal for that movie. I got them a deal.
It also turned Free Talk Live into a reality TV show, a reality radio show.
What's Ian, what's happening to Ian today in jail? Yes, today in Ian's incarceration, day 14 news. It's the Ian Freeman jail minute. Yeah. But it also put, like, you know, the other people, like Brett from School Sucks podcast became a regular, you know, he's the third.
Yeah.
And now they always have third wheels on there. It's what I call them, which it doesn't mean, you know, third wheel on a date. It means it's a good thing.
And they added the Sunday show.
I think they always had the Sunday show.
Well, no, the Sunday show was added so that, like, Ian was not on the show and it was an all co-host show. I think Mark does it now, but it was originally an all co-host show.
Yeah. So they generally usually have three hosts on there now. You know, it's 5 days a week. It's Mark and Ian and then somebody else. And then, you know, one day it's Ian and two other people, and one day it's Mark and two other people.
Right.
But I don't know if they've ever done one where neither Ian or Mark are there, but I did Michael Dean After Dark, like, in our first month past week without Michael Dean. It was pretty cool. Like, in my band Bomb, I was the only person that was at every gig. We played like We played like 700 gigs, and I was the singer and the bass player. And we had a different drummer for a while. We had one different guitarist for a while. We had another different guitarist for a while. Then it was both guitarists. And then we had a different guitarist for a while. I was the only person that was at every gig. And one time we played with the Flaming Lips, and their drummer was really into my band. And he knew all of our songs on drums, bass, and like piano too. Like, we didn't even have a piano player. But one time we did a show, 600 people at the Kennel Club in San Francisco on tour with them, us opening for them, where basically they started a rumor as a joke that they'd kicked me out of the band on tour. And the show started with Steve, the drummer for Flaming Lips, playing bass. And they played a whole song without me, or most of a song without me. And it's a song that I only sing on the end and play a really simple bass line on. And, like, you know, it started, and like 600 of our fans are there, and they're like, "Where's Michael? Where's Michael?" Like, whispering in the crowd. It's a really quiet song, but powerful.
Man, that's cool.
And I walked really slowly from outside the club, snuck through the crowd up to the edge of the stage, and then just got up for the part I sang and just sang it. And it was like thunderous applause. It was pretty cool, man.
And see, that's why I'd rather watch Jim Morrison than Kurt Cobain.
But I got to see my band. That's the only time in 700 gigs I got to see my band. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, but I got to hear my show the other day. I didn't have internet, and this show's not on the radio in my town. The other show is, but I got to hear, I listened on my phone. There's a call-in number for Free Talk Live, or for LRN, and I called the number and listened to my show. It was really cool. without me. And that's what I want to do, is like train a bunch of y'all to do real radio to a show clock, get you all on LRN, and then like the best of those, Ian and I will try to get you on GCN, you know, the people that really want to do it as a thing. So I'm trying to build like 40 more Liberty shows full-time live. That's my plan.
You know, we got the personalities for it. We got the brain power for it. We got the, you know, yeah,
the
I technology. Think it's totally doable.
We want the airwaves and we want them now. Or like, what is it? We want the world and we want them now, as Jim Morrison and the Ramones had. We want the airwaves. We want the airwaves. You know, my band Bomb, it's kind of neat, my band Bomb being music in this show. Bomb never got played on the radio. Bomb's finally getting played on the radio. We broke up in 91, man.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're sweating. We covered that. Let's see. Hunter Thompson.
Yeah, you know, that's funny too. This is the Silver Circle. The Shiny Badges jingle is the first song that I've gotten on the air. I didn't play it or whatever, but
did you write the lyrics?
I took part in the lyrics. They were, a lot of them were written by Drew Phillips.
Yeah, well, you're on 140 stations every day on Free Talk Live. Is that on the radio on Free Talk Live or just on the LRN feed?
No, I think it's on the radio.
Yeah. Well, cool.
But let's talk about Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah. Yeah. You said that. What did you say about Hunter S. Thompson?
I put forward the theory that I think Hunter S. Thompson was assassinated by the CIA. There's this funny thing about people who write exposés about the CIA. For some reason, they're all suicidal.
Oh, see, I didn't know that he was writing an expose about the CIA, but I was thinking maybe they killed him anyway. At first, I said to you, you know, oh, he's not a danger to anybody anymore. He's a has-been. They're not going to kill him for what he said in the 60s. And you said, no, he's writing an expose in the CIA. But, you know, then I thought about it. I think that they do kill people after they're a threat. Like John Lennon, Nixon wanted him dead. And I think they're still killing people on Nixon's hit list, man. I think they wait until you're not going to be a martyr if they kill you. And they,
I think,
you know,
they're finally getting around to it. I think that's the efficiency of government assassination.
Maybe that's what that big computer center in Utah is for, is just to store the text of the kill list of the government.
The whole thing. Or it's a list of every name on earth and every spelling variation.
Yeah, it's the kill list for the government, and it's the and it's the list of the names of all the new laws they wrote. It's not even the text of the laws. That wouldn't fit on a petabyte of storage space, but it's the names of the new laws and the people they want dead.
Right.
I'm surprised you're not on the no-fly list.
Well, I mean, I have a wife that works with those sorts of cases, so it would be unpopular for them.
Don't you know who I am? You know, I have a theory that every fight in the world, from like, you know, scuffle in the schoolyard to like the Cold War, and we all have enough nukes to kill each other, and like every fight, every shooting, everything in the world that's a fight, I think comes down to like one person or the other says some variation of, don't you know who I am? Like, think about every time some cop throws somebody to the ground. They're basically, if they don't say, don't you know who I am, they're either.
That's respect my authority. Is that a version of don't you know who I am?
Absolutely. Okay. And so is, you know, the drunk person who's done something obviously criminal that's really would be a crime in lib pair, that's in handcuffs, that's like telling the cops, you're violating my rights, when they're probably not, you know?
Right.
Not to stick up for the cops, but every person.
Well, you know, we probably learn a lot about aggression from schoolyard bullies. Yeah. So, and a lot of the bullies grew up to be cops. So
they sure do, man. And the ones that are too stupid to be cops probably join, you know, all these new organizations they're creating now. You know, there's this new thing called Department of Homeland Security Police. And I know a guy that was talking to them at some airport, and they were really fat, and I'm not fattest, but somebody that in LibPair, like the people enforcing the laws, like that you'd actually hire to protect you, probably wouldn't
be
fat. The
one who you'd want to chase the perch snatcher.
Yes. Yeah. It's not going to be fat. We have a caller. We're going to take him when we get back from the market, because we're about to go to the market here, but I'll just finish up with fat cops. So the Department of Homeland Security Police is one of these newly minted, like, you know, they just typed it up and suddenly there's a new police force. You know, they have a letterhead and they have a logo and they have, you know, they're carrying like two Glocks and an AR. And this guy like asked him in an airport, what do you guys do? And he's like, I don't know. And he wasn't being, you know, secretive. He just didn't know. He was just there as security theater. We'll be back after this trip to the market and take a phone call.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, the invigorating alternative to those other late-night shows.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
All right. We're getting into the final stretch here, the redemption in the third act. And that is my band Bomb. From back in the day playing. I know Davi likes him some Bomb. Wait, I got to rephrase that. I didn't say Davi likes Bombs. I said Davi likes him. Can you imagine?
I like Bitcoin, not Bombs.
Can you imagine if I was still in a band called Bomb? Can you imagine? I used to go on airplanes with a big Anvil Road case with the word Bomb stenciled on it in the 80s and 90s. Can you imagine doing that now?
There's a story about this right now. Some athlete was like detained for hours because he made a joke about a bomb in the TSA line.
Yeah. Well, we actually did get pulled over one time by the police in Northern California coming back from Sausalito from a gig in the middle of the night. And they searched our van, and they didn't search it very much. They just kind of peered in with a flashlight, you know, looking. We shouldn't have let them even do that. But they saw the big red amplifier case that says Bomb on the side of it. And he said, what's in the big – he had a Southern accent. He's from California. He said, what's in the big red box marked Bomb? And my guitar, you know, we said, oh, it's an amplifier. You know, you can see it if you want. He's like, no, that's okay. You boys just drive careful and get out of my town. That's literally what he said. But my guitar player said he was biting his tongue when the cop said, what's in the big red case marked Bomb, to not say, well, officer, we forget where we put it, so we marked it.
You can't – that America is dead.
It really
is.
You
can't make those jokes anymore.
Yeah. That you could have made that joke then. I don't even know if you can make that joke now on the radio that you thought that joke in the 90s. You'd probably get your door kicked in. So
that joke is a thought crime now.
this show – that should be – this show is a thought crime. I should make a 10-second liner that says that. All right. So real quick, redemption in the third act. You put everyone to bed with a smile on their face. How you've been messing with Nigerian money scammers, huh?
Yeah, well, this is, you know, they call it the Nigerian banking scam. This person is claiming to be an employee of the Bank of China living in the UK, but it is the Nigerian banking scam. And what it is they say, I have a ton of money, and if you'll just take some portion of it and hold it for me, I'll give you 10% of it. And it requires setting up a sort of online international bank account, and they send you a wire transfer. And they're banking on the 3 to 10 day waiting period on a wire transfer to confirm.
And it's a fake wire. It's a counterfeit wire transfer.
Yeah, they're just going to charge it back, and then you're going to sort of somehow you end up holding the money.
Well, I think yeah, that's how it works. The way these works is it's a confidence game. It's not just one email back and forth. It's people go back and forth with the person and keep adding details and then keep adding problems and like, well, okay, I really need to get you this $700 million US, but you know, to hold, and then I'll give you 10% of it. But I need some good faith. You need to put, you know,
yeah, I have
15,000.
So I need your driver's license number, and you so need that to, I know that I'm dealing with a trustworthy person.
And they either get all your info and then steal your identity, or sometimes they say like, you know, I need you to put $5,000 in this account to prove it's real, and so I have faith, you know.
Right. So I've been solving all of their problems with Bitcoin. I've been telling them, hey, you know, you don't have to worry about the, you don't need my ID, you don't need my passport. These transactions are
just
verified
Bitcoin
by
it
a
to me.
All of the things that they're saying they need the banking system to do, Bitcoin already does better.
Yeah.
And so I've been using this as an opportunity to educate this person about Bitcoin. That you know, it's the identity is verified by an encrypted key pair.
And you know what you're doing is they're going to try to figure out how they can apply this scam to Bitcoin and turn it into the Nigerian Bitcoin scam, but there isn't one.
Yeah, you couldn't do it because there's no chargebacks.
Yeah. No backsies. No backsies in Bitcoin. That'd be a good t-shirt.
No backsies, that's good. You can put the Bitcoin B as the back.
That, and you can make it backwards too. No backsies in Bitcoin. Yeah, there was a guy that was messing with Nigerian money scammers, because they always, like, sometimes they say they're from a church, you know, and they, mm-hmm. they target Christians in America, and you know, they say, and the American, like, there's this guy who messes with them by saying, like, well, you know, I'd love to do this with you, but I need to show that you are a good Christian. I need you to put loaves and fishes on your head and hold them there and take a picture. So he has this website with like 40 pictures of Nigerians with loaves and fishes on their heads, and then he never sends them any money. All right, it's been good, Dobby. Thank you very much, and we'll be
having
you on.
Yeah, it's been a blast.
You're gonna be on tomorrow.
Yeah,
same bat channel, man. Worms.
Worms.
Worms. Worms. Worms, worms, worms. Worms. Worms, worms, worms.
This has been Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.